Well, tonight we're starting a new series, and it's about different fears that we have. What I mean by that is that lots of times on the internet, or if you still read a paper or watch TV, someone will say these are the top 7 or 8 things that people are afraid of, and maybe you are afraid of maybe half of them, but. We decided to kind of go through each one and talk about the big fears that most people have, just like if you poll a bunch of people. And tonight we're going to talk about darkness, because lots of people are afraid of the dark. But I want to say that it's not really a series about how to beat that fear of darkness. That's not kind of where we're going, because I don't know, there's a quick fix for some of the big fears that we have. For example, I'm afraid of snakes, and there's not going to be a sermon that's going to wake me up out of that where I'm not afraid of snakes. So it's not necessarily that. But I thought what we would do is, in all of the fears, they're mentioned in some part of the Bible or a Bible story. Like tonight, we're going to talk about a famous story that has to do with darkness. And so if you come in, and let's say tonight you have a very legitimate fear of the dark, at the end of tonight you'll have two things. You will know that at least there's a story in the Bible where darkness is a major character, and you'll have a takeaway, a good takeaway from that story. And you may walk out of here and be as afraid of the dark or more afraid of the dark, but at least you have those two things. You'll have a good story that you know has that fear as a character, and two, you'll have a takeaway or a main principle about that, and I hope it's helpful. Hope it is. So tonight we're going to talk about darkness. Lots of people, children and adults, are nervous about being in the dark. Things sound creepier, and it's just kind of weird sometimes being in the dark. Sometimes you will not do things in the dark that you would in the light. It just makes you more nervous. Things look different. They sound different. They can even feel different, and sometimes just a little creepy to be in the dark. Darkness shows up in the second verse of the Bible. Second verse of the Bible. Just two verses in the Bible, you start to read how there was darkness. It covered the face of the deep, and the Lord made light and divided it from the darkness. So it is a big character in the Bible. Just two verses in, we start to see this concept of darkness. What I want to do, though, is look at a story in Exodus 10. Exodus 10 is when God's people were in bondage down in Egypt, and the leader that was keeping them in bondage was a guy named Pharaoh. They didn't like that. It was a hard life for them, and they cried out to God and wanted deliverance, and the Lord did that through a famous person in the Old Testament, and his name was Moses. Moses went into Pharaoh after he'd been commissioned through that burning bush. I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And he said, Pharaoh, I've heard from the Lord. He wants you to let his people go. But Pharaoh was stubborn, and he wouldn't do what God said through Moses. He rebelled against God and what God wanted him to do. So God, through Moses, sent something called the 10 plagues on Egypt until Pharaoh just couldn't take it any longer. So, see, the plagues had a purpose. They had a reason. It wasn't necessarily to punish the people or be mean or hurt anyone. They were based on a short conversation that Moses and Pharaoh had in Exodus 5. Here it is. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? Who is he, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Pharaoh said, "Are you kidding me? These people, God's people, they're valuable to me. They work hard. They do what I say. They help our economy grow. They help our commerce. I'm not going to let them go. Who is the Lord? And why should I do this? I'm not going to let them go. I don't even know who the Lord is." So based on that comment, he wouldn't do what Moses asked until Pharaoh believed in the existence of God. That's where the plagues came in. The plagues were designed. They worked together to show Pharaoh once and for all that he's not right there, that there is a God, and he's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants. And Pharaoh found out the hard way that that comment was wrong and that he ended up believing a very hard way in the existence of God. Any one of them may not have been enough to influence Pharaoh, but when you put all 10 together at the end, he pretty much threw God's people out because he was such a believer. Most of us probably believe that there is a God. We come to the Esquire, we believe something about God. We believe that he exists. If you do not believe that, maybe tonight can be helpful to you, because that's kind of where we're going tonight, to show that that God does exist. But what if you didn't believe the Bible? What would you need to prove to you that God exists? Let me put it like this. What if you have friends or family members who just don't believe that there is a God? And maybe they need more than stories in the Bible to prove that to them. Most of us have come to a faith deep in our hearts that God exists, that he sent his only son to die for us. We believe that. But you might have friends or family members who do not believe that yet. What would it take for them to believe in the existence of God? Many of our friends may need more than a story to believe that's real. They may, like Pharaoh, need some kind of evidence to believe God is real. Let's read a few verses in Exodus 10 tonight. It's a longer chapter, a longer passage. Then we'll make a few comments and we'll be done. Verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. 24, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us, there shall not an hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord till we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the people go. So here's one of the plagues when God sent darkness. And the thing about this darkness is that it was thick, okay? The Bible says this darkness was special. It was so dark, you could actually feel it. If you closed your eyes, it felt different. It was darkness that could be felt. If you're afraid of the dark, this would not have been the plague for you because it was so dark. You couldn't make them. There wasn't anything that was dim. It was pitch black with darkness that could be felt. Now, for me, it may not have bothered me. I don't think it would have bothered me that much. But if some people have a problem with that, it would have been awful. Now, do I believe that really happened? Yes, I do. I believe that God sent darkness, and I believe it was special darkness, so dark that it could be felt. And I believe that the Israelites, just like it said, had light in their dwellings. They had access to light, but the Egyptians did not. And the thing I learn about this, or this takeaway, is this simple takeaway here, and that God is real. This story, if you're here tonight and you have a problem with the darkness, now you have a story where there was darkness so much it could be felt, and the purpose of that is to show Pharaoh and everybody else, and including us who read that story, that God is real. There is a God, and he is powerful, and he will take steps to show his existence and that he is real. It's not like he's trying to harm people or hurt people. He is doing it to show and increase the faith of a target audience that he is real. That's what I learned from this. So there are different kinds of darkness. That was an actual darkness, but I just want to say here in a couple minutes that we live in a world that has dark moments, right? We talked a few weeks ago that Jesus said, I am light and I don't want you to abide in darkness. So he's talking about a darkness or troubles or problems that we have in our life and maybe our friends have. And we can be that light in their life. Look at this verse in 1 John 1:5. It says that this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Yes, hey, God sent a thick darkness back then to prove he is real. And today, we know people that maybe they can have lights or these beautiful neon lights. We can see each other. Maybe you have friends who are just having a dark moment. Well, the Bible says that you can be that light in their life. Love and light go together. And the more you love people and let God love someone through you, that brings light in their lives. Hey, Sunday, we get to get up on stage, and I get to get up with the band and have an Esquire service. And I just am so thankful that we get to do that together. But the one thing I hope they say about the Esquire, if we do get to make it another 25 years, hey, someone else have to be up here. I'll be 85 then, just so you know. I'll be 85. Is that God loved people through us. That's what I want. That last word in our mission. I want people to say that ministry, God loved people through them. That's what I want for us. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for letting us be light in a world who struggles with dark stuff. And it's tough out there. But Lord, help us be open to opportunities that you can love people through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, we have some things up here. We have shirts for sale. And we have peeps. Come up and get a peep or a bag of jelly bellies or some kind of jelly beans. And if you want sugar-free, Sherry will have them at the door. That's it. See you next time at the Esquire.